station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome back. It's Wednesday, October 9th.
Happy hump day.
Happy hump day for you, and you, and you made it clear it is today, man.
Yes, I did.
I have to describe what you're wearing because I can't get over it. She's got like a totally neon pink shirt that's like, I mean, it's so bright. I need my sunglasses.
It is really bright.
but it suits you really well, you know. Did you put a matching lipstick too? I didn't notice. Yeah.
No, I don't even think there's such thing as a lipstick like this incredibly color, neon pink.
Yeah,
like it's just not possible to make any kind of like makeup that compares to the brightness of this color. And then of course yellow like neon-ish shorts
yeah.
To go along with it.
Yeah, and it's got to be kind of cold for you because it's an overcast day.
It is a little cold. That's why I'm glad the pink top is like a legit like knitted like sweater.
I know, like a sweater and shorts. That goes very well together.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, so what drew you to the shirt? I mean, it must have like really stood out in the store when you bought it, right?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, I feel like, well, I like, first of all, like I wore it today because it's so gloomy and it's windy. Like what's funny is if you look back through like some of the history of our photos, mm-hmm. most of like the Wednesdays I'm dressed like pretty obnoxiously colorful.
Really?
So yeah, so I just thought like it just kind of, you know, it helps me, you know, figure out my wardrobe for the day, because it's like, well, it's Wednesday, so I should probably wear some really obnoxious colorful nonsense.
Yeah, but it's cool that you got a lot to choose from and stuff, you know. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah,
you
got, I try. That's the thing, you gotta stuff. Like, you know, mix and match,
right?
You know, I don't want to, God forbid, I wear the same outfit in my photos with the guests.
Yeah, God forbid.
Oh my goodness. You know, it like takes me forever. Like, I keep going through like, oh, okay, what do I have that I haven't worn yet?
Yeah. I don't think people will remember. You're fine.
Yeah,
you know, you can wear something from 2 months ago.
It's a girl thing.
Yeah,
it's a girl thing for sure.
No, I know, but where are you going to get so many clothes? I mean, that's 5 outfits a week.
However, yeah, but I mean, think about it. Like on the days that we have call-in guests, I come in my PJs.
That's true.
So that's,
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a little bit, that saves me a couple outfits. And, you know, with the weather change, a lot of my stuff is about to like go into storage. Like I need to like switch it out with all my long sleeves. Right. So now it's like a new season.
That's true.
So different clothing.
A whole new set of clothes.
So that's how I can make it work.
Sounds good. That's how you roll.
That's how I roll, yo.
Yeah. So it's nice to be back. We were off for about 3 days.
I know. It is nice to be back.
Yeah, plus the weekend. That was like a little vacation, huh?
It was kind of. I'm glad I at least, like, you know, it's given me time to recover and get my voice back.
That's true, huh?
It's so weird, though. Like, I still have, like, the sinus issue with my ears still being clogged.
Oh, really?
It's so weird. Yes.
Wow.
I don't know. Like,
sometimes
there's nothing you can do for that, you know?
Yeah. Because I know sometimes when you land with a plane and stuff, you know,
right.
You know, after that you have all the pressure on your ears and stuff and they pop. Sometimes they don't pop and it'll stay like that for a week.
Exactly.
Or two.
That's like what this is.
Wow.
It's like when I was driving up in the hills, I was going to a house. Of course, it's like all the way at the top. So I think that's what it was, the altitude change of driving all the way up to the, you know, top of the Hollywood Hills. That's when it kind of hit me, because once I have like that little bit of like that sinus blockage,
right.
That's usually what triggers it.
Yeah,
just like in the airplane.
Yeah,
and I was
like, oh
man,
they're
like, oh, just start chewing gum or swallowing or like pinching your nose and blowing out. It'll go away. Like, no, you don't understand. This could last for like a week.
Yeah.
And it's been more than a week.
That's true. And sometimes it hurts too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was really, sorry, it was really like painful in the beginning.
Yeah.
But yeah. Man, okay, I'm a mess, man.
Yeah,
I'm a mess.
I guess you are, man.
What's my deal? Oh. Oh, well. I'll get over it. I always do.
Yeah.
What are you going to do, right?
What are you going to do? There you go.
Oh, actually,
you're
speaking of...
You're not
going to
let me live it down, are you?
No, never. Speaking of airplanes, I heard this story. There's this guy, I think in like England or something, and he was, you know, sitting next to the, you know, pilot. They were in a plane. I'm guessing it was a small plane. I think he'd only flown like once before. Didn't really know what he was doing, but the pilot, the one that was actually, you know, driving the plane or whatever, or flying the plane, driving the plane, Jesus. he, like, I don't know if he had, like, a heart attack or something, but he, like, got sick and was, like, unconscious.
Wow.
So the other guy had to land the plane by himself, and he did, but the pilot ended up dying.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine being the passenger during all this?
I mean, seriously, like, that happens, like, in movies, and you think, like, oh, my gosh, and it actually happened in real life.
Wow.
I'm like, oh. Jeez, yeah. That
maybe
is,
he taught him a little bit about flying while they were flying, and plus maybe maybe the tower helped him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a small plane, right? Like a Cessna or something.
Yeah. I would assume so. I mean, I don't think they were very specific, but yeah, I was just like, that's crazy. I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you have to land the plane now. Like, what? I mean, yeah, I've done this in like video games before, but it's not really
the
same thing.
No, it's not quite the same. But, it's not really hard if you know what you're doing. But if you're the passenger, you probably don't know what the hell you're doing, you know.
Right.
But the fact, so I don't know if you got any help from the tower or whatever, but Anyway, so we have a special guest in the studio. We'll get to her in a couple minutes. I just wanted to bring up this book, a thriller that I've been reading, and we were going to interview the author yesterday. But we couldn't come in yesterday, and I did promise I'm going to promote the book and the book signing. And so the book is by David Rich, who is a best-selling author, and it's called Middleman. And it was pretty interesting. It's about this guy who's recruited by the military to find out what, supposedly there were, like, officers in Iraq that smuggled money, like Saddam Hussein's loot, in body bags of soldiers that were dead and were coming back home.
Oh, my gosh.
So, apparently there's some ring of truth to this. So this guy was supposed to find them and investigate and find all the money and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I read a part of it, and it's pretty cool, actually. It's a lot of action, a lot of stuff like this. So, and that's my kind of book, you know, so I enjoyed it.
Nice.
And I highly recommend it. The author is David Rich. The book is Middleman. And there's a book signing. He's in town, and I'm going to definitely try and catch that.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just see when it is. Okay, so the book signing by David Rich of Middleman, a book that just came out recently, is going to be at Book Soup, which everybody knows where it is, right? On Sunset Boulevard. It's going to be Saturday, this Saturday, the 12th at 4 p.m. at Book Soup, and that's on Sunset Boulevard, 8818 Sunset Boulevard. And I'm going to try and catch that book signing because I didn't get to meet him yesterday. And it's always cool to meet some, you know, authors and stuff, you know, because, it's like, because when you read a book, the author is totally, like, not part of it, you know. It's like you even are not aware there's somebody that wrote it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that. So everybody, check out the book. It's really cool. All right, so, well, we're going to get to our guest right now who's been very patient and eager to talk.
I didn't say a word.
Well, you didn't say a word, but I can tell.
I had to bite my tongue.
Yeah, there you go. So we have Heather Stewart in the studio, and you're a musician and a singer and a guitar player and everything.
Yes.
So this is cool. Well, you just joined probably a couple million of other musicians in town.
Absolutely.
Right? And it's not easy. It's not easy, right?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's not easy.
No.
Okay, so let's go back to the beginning. Are you originally from here?
No, I'm actually from Central California.
Oh, okay.
San Joaquin Valley, Fresno.
Yeah.
So born and raised in Fresno.
I see why you'd want to move to LA. I mean, there's nothing there.
It's a lot of agriculture.
Yeah. Huh?
But, you know, I think Fresno gets a bad rap.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, probably, you know, but I don't think it gets a bad rap. It's just the point that there's nothing really going on there, you know?
Well, I mean, I think at one point it was called the armpit of California.
Oh.
So that's really not a great claim to fame. However, growing up there, I mean, you know, the San Joaquin Valley supplies like 1/3 of the produce for our nation. So, you know.
Oh, really?
There's only, we can't talk too poorly about them.
That's true. That's
yeah,
true.
But no, as far as things to do, you know, it's not a hub of culture. No.
What was it like growing up there? Were you on a farm or a ranch? Or
No. I lived in the burbs, like in a very, I like to call Fresno the Midwest of California. Yeah. It's very, everybody's very nice. It's very That's Midwestern, cute. Totally. It's
Whoa.
Just like, you know, I walked to my elementary school, you know, played in the park. It was very, an idyllic childhood, so.
Yeah, well, sounds good.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you grew up there. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older brother and an older sister, but they both left. So my brother lives in Orange County, and my sister's up in Seattle.
Oh, so you scattered all over.
We scattered all over.
Yeah,
but
I know
my
many
mom is still there.
Like that. Yeah. Oh, your mom's still friends.
Mom and aunts and cousins and whatnot. So,
I know. Usually the young people leave and then they just spread out, you know.
Absolutely.
My family's the same way, you know. And it's like you wonder, why are we doing this? You know, I mean, we're family. We should be close to each other, you
know.
Geographically and stuff. So.
Wait, where are you from originally?
From Israel.
From Israel. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, I moved
You really
here.
Spread out.
Yeah, you know. And my one brother is in China. The other one's
Oh,
here.
My gosh.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we're all over the place,
yeah,
too.
Believe me, I wish I could have my mom and brother out here.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
If I could have my family close to me, I definitely would.
Maybe eventually.
But,
you know,
for sure.
When you make
for
your first million, they'll find you, believe me.
Well, no,
I'm hoping that
like,
happens.
That's like my goal. I was like, I'm going to try to work towards, you know, giving them a good life out here. So
being filthy rich and having hangers-on.
There you go.
I'm ready.
Yeah,
it's like my mom, you know, she's done like so much for me, like my whole life. You know, it's like it's the least I could do is buy her a mansion, okay?
Yeah.
The least I could do.
I think if you buy her a nice house, you'll be happy too.
I agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow. So now what's the climate there? It's not like LA, right? It's not as hot, right?
It's hotter.
Is it hotter?
In the summer, it gets into the hundreds.
Really?
Yes, it's very hot.
Wow.
And in the winters, it's a little bit colder. I'd say it gets in the 30s and 40s in the winter.
Right.
So
it is a little bit closer to the Midwest.
It's
kind
a little bit closer to the Midwest. Exactly.
The weather.
Although it doesn't have the humidity of the Midwest.
Good.
It's a little bit more of a dry. Yeah, because that humidity in the Midwest.
Uh-huh, I know. Yeah. I'm from Chicago. So.
I know. Well, I was just in Chicago the last August, and I was like, oh, right, this is heat.
This is humidity.
Yeah,
that's
this is
about.
Humidity. But your skin looks really wonderful.
Yeah.
And dewy.
Except your hair.
Yeah,
probably
I can't say
your hair
though.
Is out to here, Lizzie. But your skin looks dewy and beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
A total trade-off. So yeah, the weather's a little bit different.
Yeah. You've been to the Midwest? A couple times?
I have been to the Midwest,
yeah,
and I am
so you know like.
I have some friends that live right outside of Milwaukee, and when I first went there, they live in a place called Cedarburg, and I think now they're in Grafton, but I went to Cedarburg, and I was like, this is beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's all farmland, and everybody, honestly, you go for a walk, and everyone's like, oh, hey, how are you?
Really?
You know, like, everyone is so friendly, and not that LA is not friendly, but in big cities, people can tend to keep to themselves. But when you go back there, everyone's like, welcome. Hi, how are you? And you get invited to parties on people's farms and a cookout. And you're like, you don't even know me.
Yeah.
It's lovely. It's a really wonderful way of life.
So very hospitable.
Very hospitable.
Wisconsin's great.
It is great. If it weren't for those crazy cold winters, I'd probably be living there. But those winters scare me a little.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So did you grow up with music when you were young?
I did. My mother is a jazz singer. So I've lost my voice a little bit. I had my CD release party last night, so as you can tell, and then stayed later and drank a little. But yes, my mom is a jazz singer. So growing up, I mean, I don't remember a time that there wasn't music going throughout our home and always singing with my mom, harmonizing and going to bed at night. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
All
so
the time.
So did you consciously tell yourself I'm going to be a musician?
Do you know? No. I mean, I always wanted to be a singer. Right. Always. I've been singing since
it's
I was
a lot
walking.
Of fun, huh?
It's like, I think to me, singing is like praying. Mm. It's the something that's coming from within me that I can't really explain. And
right.
It's like praying. It's a
and
wonderful.
It's so much fun. It's like better than any instrument.
It's
huh?
better. It really is, because you just it just comes out of you and you can't
right.
explain it. It's something from nothing and it's
right. Exactly. And when you can really connect and focus on it, it's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And even if you're not a good singer, it doesn't matter. Stuff coming out of you is like singing anyway.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I tried to do the instrument thing too, and everyone's like, "Yeah, just stick to the singing.
Stick
your voice
to the singing."
Is enough. I couldn't really pick up the, you know.
Yeah.
The instrument part.
Side of it, yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember, some years ago I bought like a big karaoke machine and speakers and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I would sing at home and blast it, you know. And it's just, you know, when it's loud and you close your eyes, you're in another planet.
You're in
a
different place.
Different
absolutely.
World,
absolutely.
Yeah.
The emotion, and it is. It's prayer.
Yeah. So you had a party last night?
I had a CD release party. My album came out yesterday. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Thank you. It was really fun. We did it at a place called Room 5.
Uh-huh.
It's on La Brea. It's this great little upstairs, if you get a chance to go. Have you ever been to Room 5, either of you?
I haven't. I mean,
not me, but she
maybe
would.
Maybe if I've seen it, I've been like, oh yeah, I've been here before, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's, there's a restaurant underneath it called Amalfi. It's on La Brea, just south of Beverly. Anyway, it's this great, great little venue. Great sound, awesome, great show. And my plan worked. I was like, I want to get a small place and pack it.
Yeah, good for you.
Instead of getting the big place and you're like,
that's true, that's a good
right?
idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that makes sense.
That worked.
A nice little intimate place where everybody can have conversation.
Everybody can have conversation.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can connect with the artist more.
Very smart.
I like that so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of talk to people and it's very interactive and I
right.
like that.
Yeah, I like those. I've been to a couple of those and it's fun, you know, because you get to hear the music for the first time. And you meet people, you get to be close to the artist and stuff. So it's really cool.
Absolutely. It's very intimate. It's like having I like my shows to be like having dinner with each other, you know, like you, but singing some songs too.
Yeah, there you go. So how long did it take to record the CD for you?
Well, we did it in two phases. It was produced by Greg Critchley, who's a very good friend of mine and an amazing producer.
Uh-huh.
And I went to him and I was only going to do 5 songs. I was like, I'm going to do an EP. Money-wise, you know, I was like, do 5, and we recorded the first song. We did them all at the same day. It's called Live Off the Floor, and you get your musicians in, and you do it all in one day.
Wow,
and they started playing the first song, and I just started crying.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the musicians we got were just top-notch, amazing guys.
And it's a song that you only played on the guitar before, and suddenly you hear it
and
by a band,
that
right?
is... Absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're just playing on guitar, you write it, and you do it over and over, but then when you hear the drums kick in and the bass, and it just, it's overwhelming to hear them. And the way they interpret your song, too, is like, what? It's just mind-blowing.
Wow.
So we did the first 5 songs. Yeah, we did the first 5 songs, and I was like, oh, well, if it sounds like this, let's do a full album.
Right.
I will find the money. Like, and then so that took probably a few months to write and record. And then we took a little time off and recorded the second part a few months later.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it was in 2 phases. Yeah.
Wow. So the album is called What It Is.
Yep.
And you brought a couple songs for us. So let's,
I did.
Yeah, so let's hear some of the
cool.
tracks. Is this the first time they've been played like publicly and stuff? Or?
No. I had a release of Had It All, the song, about a month ago.
Oh, okay.
There was a video, so I released the song as well.
Oh, nice.
And what it is, another song you could hear on my website. So it's been around, but yes, this is sort of the first time that a few of these have been heard.
Awesome. So let's play What It Is. Tell us a little bit about the song.
Well, I love this song because, you know, some people hear it and they think it's not a love song. It's a sad song. And I'm like, no, it's a love song. My husband and I were out to dinner at the Cheesecake Factory, as you do, and we've been together for over 10 years.
Wow.
So he ordered something. You know, when you've been together forever, you get very familiar with each other. So he ordered something unfamiliar, and I was like, oh, what's going on here? Uh-huh. So he got this unfamiliar thing, and he ate it, and I was like, well, how was it? And he goes, you know, once you get over what it's not, what it is pretty good. And I was like, that is, and I took out my phone and I made my note and I was like, that is going to be a song.
Whoa.
And I really do think that we have all these expectations on things and people and life. And once you let go of that and you realize what it is really good.
Yeah.
Once it's not, you know, I think we just put all these sort of preordained and pre-things on everything.
Right.
And once you let go of that, you go, hey, my life's pretty badass.
Yeah, you open up your mind a little.
You open up your mind to the expectations are different and it becomes something different. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
And it turns into something different.
Yeah.
So that's what this song is about.
Sounds good. Okay, so let's go ahead and listen to Heather with What It Is.
I'm not yours. You're an open window and I'm a closed door. You're so optimistic, I can't see why you think you can fix it when I just won't cry. Once we get over what it's never gonna be like, what it is already. You hate my favorite dress, the one I always wear. I wish that even one time you might shave and fix your hair. Some days I just don't listen. You talk anyway. Sometimes I just don't get it. Maybe that's okay. Once we get over what it's never gonna be like, what it is alright.
What it is, Heather Stewart.
Puts me in like such a chill mood right now.
Thanks.
Oh, nice. I love it.
Thank you.
No, it's really cool. So now, how do you describe your music? I mean, is it like what genre do you like to, or do you not
so
put it in a box?
Hard. You have to put it in a box, unfortunately, for people to find you.
Right.
I would say it's sort of Americana, like a singer-songwriter Americana.
Right.
Is how I would explain it, just because I don't really know what other, you know.
Yeah. Now, has this style of music always attracted you, or did you sort of like just start writing like this?
You know, the weird thing is that my first album I wrote and recorded and I sent it to my mom, and she called me and she goes, you know, this is country, right?
Aww.
Isn't that funny? And I was like, yeah, I guess it is.
Right.
I I guess growing up in Fresno, country was huge. And I, maybe that influence, but I guess, you know, I was always a big Bonnie Raitt fan.
Oh, really?
So I think that sort of Americana alt country, and I love the blues, like Big Mama Thornton and all that stuff.
Wow.
I'm in.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. So I, whatever came out was just sort of Americana country.
Yeah.
And this one sort of is a little bit more acoustic rock, but for the most part, Americana country, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
So do you write all the songs, all of them?
I do. These songs, a couple of them were written solely by me, and the rest were all co-writes. Mm. So with my producer, Greg Critchley, another song was written with Mark Schultes, who's, if you haven't heard him, you should check him out. He's an Australian singer-songwriter who's amazing. Mm. He's just amazing. He's back in Australia now, but he was here in L.A. for a while. So I wrote a couple songs with him, and then another guy named Angie Aparo, who, do you guys know the song Cry by Faith Hill?
By Faith Hill.
He wrote Cry for Faith Hill, and he's just an amazing musician and songwriter,
really?
A Nashville guy.
Wow.
So he's fantastic. So I got the opportunity, thankful for the opportunity to write with him. And so, yeah, it was just a journey, an amazing co-writing experience for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
So when you write your songs, do you have the music in your head first? Do you have the lyrics?
Do you know, I love this question. I always ask my other songwriter friends this question, too.
Yeah, because people do it differently.
Everybody has a different process.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. For me, I usually start out with I'll have a tiny bit of a lyric, you know, or just an idea of what the song wants to be. And then I start playing guitar and usually come up with like a little bit of a melody.
Right.
And then it sort of goes from there. And co-writing, I'll bring in like a little bit of a melody. Normally it might not even have a lyric. Like it had it all, the song I wrote with this guy, Brad Swanson, who's also a wonderful singer-songwriter. And I just brought in this melody thinking it was going to be sort of a typical love song. And then we just started talking about life, and my father had passed away. And
oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. It was a couple of years ago, and, you know, talking about how short life is, and I wanted to have it all before, like, on your deathbed going, did I take every chance? Did I do everything I wanted to do? And so then it became sort of a love song about life and taking advantage of everything you can take advantage of, and taking chances and making sure you kicked life's ass, you know? So, yes, my process is, for me, it's either I bring in a little lyric, but I mostly start with a little bit of a melody. Like, a lot of times I'll have a chorus or I'll have a verse, and it just kind of builds from there.
Right, yeah.
But when,
and it's a lot of fun writing songs.
It's so fun. And Angie Aparo actually said that they have a thing in Nashville that if you write a chorus, turn that into your verse and write an even better chorus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a good
And I
idea.
Thought that was such an interesting challenge to be like, this is this great chorus. All right, we'll make that your verse and write an even better chorus.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's amazing.
And isn't it amazing that I find some songs where the verse is even more catchy than than the chorus, you know?
Than the chorus.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
So, some songs I don't like the chorus as much as I like the verses, which is very cool.
It is. It's very cool. Do either of you write? Do either of you write songwriters? Or
I used to.
Yeah.
Okay.
A little bit. Uh-huh.
A little bit. It's fun.
It is.
It's a great way to express yourself.
Yeah, in my teens I did, you know. And the exciting thing was I always... only played with a guitar.
Yeah.
So you never really heard the song the way it would be by a band and something, you know. So then when I finally recorded it, it was just amazing. What an experience, you know.
Oh, right.
After like, you know, 30 years after I wrote the song, you know, it was finally
recorded. Can we hear it?
No, it's not out here. I'm not afraid.
You have to bring it in.
I'll dig that out.
No,
absolutely.
No, I'll tell you why. Because it's in Hebrew. And if I play it here, it's kind of weird.
I got you.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
It
or cool.
Yeah.
People think it's awesome.
Come on, too.
All right, I'll bring it in.
Bring it in. Come on.
Yeah.
Take a chance.
No, I'm happy with the way I sing, though. I sound pretty good.
Oh, do you?
No doubt about it.
Oh, good. There you go.
Oh, check you out, Sam.
Yeah, there you go.
But, I love it.
But singing is fun, and guitar and stuff.
Yeah.
So at what point did you leave Fresno? Did you finish like high school or
something? I finished high school, and then I went to school in Santa Barbara. So I went to UCSB.
Oh, okay.
I was a gaucho.
Yeah.
If you're going to go to school, it might as well be in one of the most beautiful places on the planet,
that's
right?
True. That's true.
Everybody says, like, you went to college in Santa Barbara, and I'm like, I did.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. I mean, my dorm room freshman year looked out over the ocean.
Wow.
I was on the 10th floor and looked out over the ocean. So, yeah.
Tough
life. As an 18-year-old,
yeah.
Come on.
Tough life.
Fact that I even finished college is an amazing, was an amazing feat.
That's
true. Being that close to the beach.
Yeah, and plus you are a creative person and... You know, you may not be as much into sitting there and
but you know what? And I didn't really kind of reach my sort of creativity until later on because I was a pre-law major.
Oh, wow.
In college, and I wanted to be a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be a prosecutor.
That's interesting.
And in fact, my one of my best friends is a prosecutor in San Diego. So she and I always laugh because she loves like singer-songwriter stuff, so she and I kind of like live vicariously through each other's lives.
That's
true. Yeah, and she tells me about all her cases. She's a prosecutor, a criminal prosecutor, and I'm like, oh yes. So I did. I wanted to be a lawyer, and then ended up graduating from UC Santa Barbara, and I moved to New York City.
Oh really?
Yeah. And worked.
Why, for law?
No. Because I wanted to act and sing.
Right.
But I was petrified. So I worked in advertising.
Yeah.
Weird.
Uh-huh.
For a year. And I went to like two different auditions, but was just too afraid to like do anything.
Right.
So, and then after that, I went traveling. I moved to Germany. I have a very weird life, but
really?
I went backpacking and backpacked for about 3 months in Europe and ended
That's
up.
Exciting.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
By
amazing.
Yourself?
No, with my friend who's now a prosecutor.
Oh, okay. Oh.
She and I did, and we stayed. We ended up getting jobs with AFRC, which is the Armed Forces Recreation Center.
Oh, okay.
So they provide recreation for the troops that are stationed in Europe. So they have all these Americans that work for them, like at a pizza place and the ski lodge. And like, it's like a post-college dream.
Wow.
So I stayed there for a little over a year, and then came back home, lived with my parents, worked, and then went backpacking again for 7 months, and I went around the world.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yes. I've been to 29 countries and counting.
Are you serious?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
29.
Wow.
That's
I know.
Cool.
I love traveling. It's like it's the best thing that anybody can do for themselves.
That's true. That's true. And,
oh.
And you know what I think? It's probably like at the top for most people, because when you think about it, when you're rich, when you get to be very rich,
yep.
And you've accomplished everything and bought everything that you could think of, what do you do now?
You
and
travel.
You travel, mm-hmm. You know, and that's what ultimately, when you ask people, what are you going to do when you retire and stuff, and then travel. You know,
right.
That's what people like to do. So you get to do it at an early age.
I got to do it
in
early, and you know, I'm so appreciative of it, just because, especially as an American, I feel. We're so isolated. Our country is so huge.
Right.
Like if you live in Europe and you drive 2 hours, you're in a different country
right.
with a different language.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you drive 2 hours here, you're in Bakersfield.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? And no offense to Bakersfield. It's a lovely place. But it's just different. I feel like we're just kind of isolated here
right.
being Americans. And I feel mm-hmm. like you get to know yourself. You get to know who you are because it's reflected in the people you meet and
that's
the countries
true.
You go to and the challenges you face traveling. It's
right.
an amazing
and
experience.
And it's so easy to get caught up in living here because you have everything. You know?
You have everything.
So we think it's like we're the only ones that really exist, you know. But
absolutely.
We have so much influence on the world that...
we have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that you can walk into a grocery store and there's like 32 different types of toothpaste.
Right.
Like, people that come from other countries are like, are you kidding
oh,
me?
I know.
What?
Yeah, when people, I feel like when people grocery shop in Europe, like, I feel like they grocery shop, like, just for the day. Like,
yeah.
There's no big carts.
No.
They have their little basket.
They have their little
you
basket.
In, you know, and they're like, oh, you don't have
you
anything bigger than that. Like, oh, no, we just get this
nope.
and this. I'm like, what about tomorrow? We'll come back tomorrow. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's what you
okay,
do.
Great.
You're absolutely right.
And they make everything
They don't do
so
the Costco
fresh.
Thing.
And, yeah,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Because they don't put preservatives in the food.
Nope.
You know, so
right, no.
You get it day of.
You get fresh bread, fresh milk. And
oh, yeah, which makes so much more sense. But here we just don't.
Yeah, we're caught up in other things. You
we're
know?
Caught up in other things. So it's nice to see how other people live their lives. And sometimes it's better.
Yeah, that's true.
We think we have the best of everything, but that's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily true, but it's still the best place in the world to live, I think. Don't you? I mean, you've been in 29 countries.
Hands down.
Right.
I think the opportunities here, as a woman, as an American, it's hard to beat.
The freedom, you know.
The freedom.
People don't get into your lives like they do in other places, you know.
Absolutely.
And, like the government and things like that, you know.
Although people would probably argue with you now.
Yeah, but that's
But it's not like if you're in China or Russia we've got, or North Korea.
Or even in Europe, you know. I mean, the thing is, things are small, you know, they have different kinds of government and stuff, and they've got their own problems.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're definitely blessed being from here. I mean, it's like you don't even think about it until like yesterday I found out, you know, my friend, she passed like her citizenship test. And it was like such a big deal. I was like, wow. Yeah, like people can't just, you know, like you have to go through like all this stuff.
Process,
you know, it's such a process.
Right.
And we're so privileged. Privileged to live here. I remember the first time when I went backpacking, I stayed in London in this hostel, and it was like this 4-bed room hostel, and so it was me and my friend and a couple guys from like Sierra Leone, and their goal was to make it to America.
Really?
And he was like, that is my dream of my life, is to make it to, and that's when as a 22-year-old you're like, oh my god, you know, like I don't even know what I have,
right?
Because his dream was to come to the States, and that was That's it.
And that's the way it is in many places in the world. You
absolutely.
Know? I mean, that was my dream as a kid also, you know?
Yeah.
And because it just seems like the land of opportunities, you know?
Yep,
everything
absolutely.
Is here.
When did you come here?
1976.
Wow, that's so great.
I was 16 years old at the time.
Oh, my gosh.
I came by myself. I stayed with some family in Vegas. And
wow.
My parents joined me like 5 years later and stuff, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that's amazing.
Yeah, so I had an interesting childhood and stuff, but I don't regret it a single day, you know.
No, but that takes guts as a 16-year-old,
to
move to a completely different country.
But it was my dad's great scheme, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll see, you know, I mean, but it turned out for the best, you know. I already went through the crisis of blaming them and all that stuff.
Now
I'm happy.
Of course. Yeah. We've let that go now.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get to another song. It's called We'll Learn.
Okay.
And tell us a little bit about
This song I wrote with Greg Critchley and Mark Schultes, and I love this song because we wrote it, we went to Santa Monica and like hung out in the little park looking out over the beach.
Yes.
And sat down on this blanket with our guitars, and we're like, let's write a song.
Really? That's so cute.
It was so cool. I was like, we're cool. We're cool musicians writing on the beach.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, totally. So this is just kind of a lovely little love song about being in love and taking chances and going for it.
Great. So they're into the same kind of music that you are, right? I mean, I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Not maybe a little less Americana than me,
right?
But yes, but very
they're not like
similar.
Hard rock or anything. No. They're more like your style. Okay.
Although Greg Critchley, I think the producer of this back in the day, was in a pretty hardcore rock band, like an 80s rock band.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
kind of a hair band. He had the long hair.
Yeah.
And
Oh my!
Oh my! I think there may have been spandex involved.
Oh.
That was maybe the color of your sweater.
Hey now!
If you catch my drift.
Yes, we catch your drift.
Yes.
Okay, Heather
it.
Stewart
awesome.
In the studio. We're gonna play her next song, We'll Learn.
I envy that funny walking dog. He don't seem to mind. Don't care where it is he's going to. He's just taking his sweet time. Me, I worry too much about things I cannot change. Let's try and make a little sweet.
There you go. A song that was written and composed in Santa Monica.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that one's definitely like country-ish vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
I like it, but it's catchy, you know?
Oh, thanks.
It's cool, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, there's still so much to ask you and stuff. We only have a few minutes left.
Oh, no, really?
So, yeah. So, now, I wanted to ask you, so you moved to New York from Fresno, right?
From Santa Barbara.
From Santa school. Barbara, right.
Yeah.
Now, so how did you end up here in L.A.? This is after you've been to New York and Germany
New York and Germany, and because I always wanted to sing and act.
Right, and you figured that's where it's at.
And I kind of knew L.A., and my family's from California, so I knew it was New York or L.A., and I just had more sort of familial support here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the end goal was always to end up in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And so I ended up here, yeah, and I worked in production for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. I was a...
Well, you could have taken just a two-hour drive from Santa Barbara, but you had to go around the world to end up in L.A.
Do you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's a little circuitous. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, totally.
It's awesome, though.
Sometimes you got to take a different route.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and I've been here now, God, like 10 years or something.
10 years?
Yeah, or a little bit more if I did the math, but right. I won't do the math.
So what was the move like? Did you move by yourself?
No, you know... I have a very best friend of mine who I lived with in New York City. Mm-hmm. And when I went traveling, she moved to L.A.
Oh, okay.
And when I moved back here, we moved in together.
Together. Oh, okay,
nice.
Cool. And that helps a little bit.
Oh, my God. Tremendously.
Yeah.
Having a wingman, there's nothing better.
Right.
You got to have a wingman.
Yeah, that's true. You came by yourself pretty much, right?
I did.
Yeah, you didn't really know.
That's amazing.
I did.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I've been here like 3.5 years now. Well,
okay.
Yeah, January 7th will be my 4-year anniversary.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
you're almost a true Angelino.
There
almost.
You go.
I know. Yeah. Almost.
I know. You only have to live here 6 months to be an Angelino.
Yeah, right?
Everybody's such a transient. Yeah, it's like 6 months, and you're like, oh, you're a native.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's nice. So you moved here and then you got married. When did you meet your husband?
I did. Well, I met my husband about 10.5 years ago, like right around when I moved here. We met.
You didn't waste any time.
I didn't waste any time. And I don't know. I never really considered myself the marrying type, you know?
Yeah.
But he's just this amazing human being. And so we ended up moving in together and, you know, the whole thing. And then my father passed away, and I was like, you know, we should get married. I want my family to be there. I want to have everybody there seeing us get married together. Mm-hmm. That's now become important to me. I think when someone dies, when your parent dies in particular, it's pretty life-changing. It was a little...
Wow.
It was sort of unsuspected. He'd been sick, but it was a little surprising, and... I don't know, it just kind of changed everything, and I wanted to have this celebration in front of all my friends and family.
Oh, how nice.
So we got married March 23rd of this year.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we're newlyweds, sort of.
So you stuck together for 10 years
and
finally decided to get married.
And
wow.
And now we tied the knot. So now
Usually by the 10th year, they're divorced already.
I know. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
We're just starting out now.
Yeah, there you go.
So now I'm like, hello, husband.
Yeah.
And he's like, hello, wife.
That's so cute.
I know. Isn't that funny? It's still weird to be like, this is my husband.
This is very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Heather Stewart, why don't you give everybody your website so they can go check you out?
Yes. My website is heather-stewart.com. Mm-hmm. And that's Stewart, STEWART.com.
Right.
Heather-stewart.com.
Okay. And there's all the information here. There's a link to your music and stuff.
Absolutely. Everything you could ever want to know about me is on my site.
Sounds good.
And then some.
Yeah. And then the rest of it we found out today.
And the rest of it you found out today.
Yes, there you go.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Heather Stewart, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
You're a great musician. We really love the music.
Thank you so much.
So all the best to you with it. I know it's like a little baby that just came out.
Oh, it's like 11 little babies I just had yesterday. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly it.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in and all the best to you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Mia, for bringing brighten up the room today.
Thank
with
you.
Pink
yeah.
Neon.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, yes. You know, any Wednesday, I should say.
Yeah, there you go. And everybody, thank you for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.